And it's sad, William, that they have to do this, but something has to be put into place. They're now having, I guess they're putting more, what they call security, but they're carrying guns and what have you in the school. It's almost like it's children going to prison to learn. It's like they're on a, it reminds me of that. You have to scan them, and then they have, some school they have scanners, you know, scan the bodies and what have you to make sure that they don't have any weapon. You have these kids, but here, William, let's, it's the mental instability. I cannot get away from that, because if you have people who are bullies, who are rotten, who are predators, who are mistreating the children, they come from homes who are broken and dysfunction and things like that, and they want to rid themselves of it. Because let me tell you something, you hit a dog long enough, he's going to come back and bite you, okay? It is what it is. And so if you mistreat that dog, and I know I'm just using this as illustration, and the dog is kind and keep beating it and backing it in the corner, it's going to come out after a period of time. It's going to come out and defend itself. Same thing with some of these children. I'm not saying all of them, but for the most part, the mental health issues, and we can attribute some of, let me go here, some of the senators and governors and stuff in the White House, okay, because they got some mental issues too. I'm just going to be real here. I know you laugh. It's true. They've got some issues, and some of them need some background checks on them. Because
some of them, a lot of them.
Okay. I'm just saying that because if you would look at the leadership, and it's really important who stands before us and who is an example. If you don't have good examples, like, and we could test to this, if we were not good mothers, examples to our children, guess what? They'd have turned out like everything else out in the street.
Right.
But if you don't have, and this is a is getting to be a God fearless nation, okay, to where every damnable thing is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the cowboy and Indian days that you go solve your issues by quick draw McGraw, who can, you know, draw the statue. Really, that's what it's headed to. I was stationed in Laredo. My job sent me to Laredo, Texas, to open up a financial institution years ago. And it's 5 miles from the Mexican border. And the drug cartel there was ruthless and still is ruthless. But every person sat there on their porches that, you know, they drove me into the city. And every person sat there with their guns on their laps, okay, for fear. And I'm talking about these are adults. Now, listen, folks, we have to go to the initiation of how it specifically happened and why it escalated. And it all has to do with people want power, people want control, people are out of hand, they don't want to abide by the rules, all kinds of things. Is the gun the answer? No, but they feel like it is because it's a quick resolve. We used to duke it out, William. You know, we were, if you could remember, and Dr. Demi trying to act like he ain't like black pepper either. But anyway, whatever, Dr. Demery. Okay, we all used to duke it out, and that was the fair shake. And whoever won, won. And that problem was resolved. We didn't go home because we got our behind beat, maybe, okay, and pull a gun and say, since you beat me up, I'm going to show you I'm in your life. And that's the mindset today. We have to deal with the changing of the mind. But if you got a wickedness in high places that are stimulating brains to introduce wickedness and continue with that thing and get a quick, instant resolve. We're talking about this microwave stuff. Nobody wants to get beat down. My thing is this, it's almost like we have to learn all over again to be human.
That's amazing.
We have to learn all over again to learn how to love. We have to learn all over again to keep our feelings off our shoulders, because some of those feelings have no business being up there. It's like, how dare you? I'm who I am. No, sit down somewhere. You nothing. Just like me. Okay, learning. Striving. And so, folks, and it's not just guns, folks, because people are carrying knives. I'm talking about these army knives, okay, gutting people. Let's just be real, okay? You got meat markets in the prison system. Let's just go all the way since we going, okay? Why don't, and I was just sitting on the couch thinking, I said, Lord, why don't they use these people, you know, who has committed the crime. Yeah. We got agriculture that needs to be nourished. Use them instead of them raping and beating each other in the prison system. Okay? Do something with them. Talking about, we're training them, really? Okay?
We call it rehabilitation centers and stuff in prisons, supposed to rehabilitate. All they do is learn how to be smarter criminals. There is no rehabilitation in our prisons or our jails.
Exactly. And the law is flawed. Because they put in jail who they want to put in jail. Let's be honest, okay? Because everybody up in the White House is my wheelhouse. They all need to be raked over the coals, okay? I'm just saying, it's the thing is, all of that that's talking, that yik-yak, and that's one of the things my friend used to say, they need to sit back and take an evaluation, because if we did an evaluation, and I'm just saying, okay, I'm not trying to say anybody on the panel is crazy, but if we did an evaluation of everybody on the crowd, well, maybe William, but anyway.
I'm going to let that slide. I'm going to let that slide, Dr. Sim.
I love you, William.
Yeah, I love you too. We'll talk later.
I'm a mental health professional.
Okay.
No, but I'm saying that when we what is the issue?
Yeah, you find that funny.
we don't care enough for each other. It's me, myself, and mine. And we are living in a state with multifaceted of colors and theories and thought processes. But if we were to deal with them, because everybody's been through something. Everybody's been through something. And are we going to keep ignoring? They done closed down the mental health facilities, having them walk the streets, okay? And it's just a mess, and it's a gamut of messes that our government has created. It is.
Well, look who we are electing to our government, because if you look at, there's some real wackos. I mean, some real wackos in the Congress and in the Senate. And now this, is he a congressman? I believe he's right, in the state of Tennessee, where the mass shooting just happened. And people say, well, what can be done about it? He says, well, there's nothing that can be done. And if you look back with one of his, most recent Christmas cards, there are two people in the car that's posing with rifles.
All of them. Him, his wife, and the kids.
And the kids.
They all are posing with an assault rifle.
Our society, Mike, has become desensitized here. And again, I don't know whether, it has to do with, artificial intelligence. I don't know whether that has anything to do with it. Let me tell you where I'm going with that. You look at some of these, video games. Okay. And some are extremely violent, okay? And you take a child who doesn't know that fire burns. And they may not look at the implications, because we were taught right from wrong, and our parents watched what we were looking at, okay? If things got out of hand, they slapped, well, they put us back in place real quick. But right now, you got a young child, okay, that's watching, and they're watching these dangerous programs. They're watching or playing these dangerous, games. I'm wondering, Mike, in your opinion, and I'll come back around full circle, can that be a contributing factor where they really don't think that fire burns? Or it's not as bad as things are, because they visualize this, they're hearing this, and they're being indoctrinated through these games. Do you think that has any merit?
I think Ann brought this up earlier today, that these games start to influence people and give them a certain mindset. And I think there's two issues with our society, and I'd love to hear all of your input on this. The two biggest issues we have in our society is lack of proper upbringing. Mm. No one's held accountable, and no one is taught morals. No one, and you certainly don't see God in the homes or in the schools. So, one of the main problems is lack of proper upbringing. And William just touched on it. We didn't get away with this stuff. You know, I took a gun to school. I had a truck, and we had a rifle rack in the back. And when we got a new rifle for Christmas, our coaches would come out to look at it in our cars. We didn't have shootings going on in schools. And a whole bunch of us had guns at school. But we handled it like Dr. Sims was saying. You went out, you slapped each other around a little bit, and then you became friends. We were brought up that you are going to be held accountable for all of your actions. You behave badly, you're gonna get some punishment along the way. If you behave properly, then you get pats on the head. You know, thank you, you're doing great. So that's problem number one. The other problem in our society, and I don't think any of you would disagree with this, is the rampant drug use throughout all ages, from young to very old, and what those drugs do to people's minds. And once they're hooked, they got to get their fix. So what are they doing? They're robbing, stealing, whatever they got to do to get their fix. So those are the two biggest problems I see in our society. Lack of proper upbringing and being held accountable, and the rampant drug use.
Mm. And you know, I'm telling you, and putting these things that I think that certain things you shouldn't be able to exercise or look at or being exposed to until you get to a level of maturity. And I do see, and I'm thinking back when, what was the name of that violent video game? What was it that they were talking about shootings and prostitutes and drugs and things
like that? Something like that.
What was the name of it, Mike?
One of the biggest ones was Grand Theft Auto. Where
that's
they
the one.
And kill and, yeah.
That's the one I'm talking about. And the dialogue came out several years ago, because that's been out for, I think, 20 some years maybe. I don't know exactly when it came out, but again, I do believe that the exposure to things that, our children aren't, mentally capable of handling, like these games, some TV programs that they're watching, and given these, and having access to computers, what 6-year-old needs an iPhone 14? And believe it, well, you guys already know. And these young people, they can maneuver and manipulate a computer much better than I can and much faster.
Me too. Come on.
I'm telling you, it's like they grew up with this stuff, right? I mean, 3- and 4-year-old little children are able to navigate themselves around a computer. Okay. And we already know that this thing that we use, which I think is a great, great tool, you know, a lot of us couldn't do our jobs without it. And we certainly wouldn't be able to do what we do here without it. But again, there are so many things out here that are good for society if they are done and in the hands of the right people. But you take that same tool and you put it in the hands of the wrong people, now you've got an issue. And
well, you know, I agree with everything that all of you have said, but you can't. Let me put it to you this way. That's not the root of the problem. The root of the problem is America's history.
Oh, boy.
We are a country who, from its very inception, has loved guns. It's in our Constitution. We all have the right to bear arms. Don't get me wrong. It was, of course, as a means of us protecting ourselves in terms of war, that the citizens would be able to bear arms. But let's think about what's happened over the years since then. I bet you, everybody on this panel can name some real popular Wild West gang members.
Yes.
Who hadn't heard of Butch Cassidy? Who hadn't heard of Wyatt Earp? Who hadn't heard of Billy the Kid? Who hadn't heard of Jesse James?
Right.
These are people who have been violent in the past, who live on in not just our minds, but in our movies, in the cartoons that we grew up watching. So violence is one of those things that, for whatever reason, is glorified in this particular country. You can look at, even on a modern day scale, we're rather more modern times. Look at the movies that, starting with black and white movies about organized crime. People loved learning about mob bosses, hearing about mob bosses. People remember Wild West gangs. And so it is no wonder that when you have marginalized, poor, or other people who are part of the quote unquote have-nots, this is the history that they have been taught by you. It's in film, it's in cartoons. It's pretty much a part of our everyday fabric of society. You respect this. You like this. So hey, you might not like the color of my skin, but there were gangs in the past who wore blue bandanas and red bandanas. You had a lot of respect for them. You still like them. And let's just be very brutally honest about it. We have a really big gang called the Republican Party. That's right. And their color, their line of demarcation is the color of skin. Whether you are any shade of white and against them or brown, and they don't like you. Now, if you otherwise look like them, believe like them, share their ideology, share their ethics, share their white supremacist belief, they're all in with you. Everybody else, is on their suspect list, and they don't have a problem with violent behavior happening towards you. Let's just be brutally honest about it. I'm not saying that because it's my opinion. I'm saying that because of the words that have come out of their mouths, because of the actions that they have done. You even have Republican people who are in Congress, whether they're in, you know, federal government or on the state level, calling for secession, saying that we're headed towards civil war. These people are talking about making America great again. And it's that era where you had folks taking up guns, their own vigilante justice that they're talking about. And that's why they like having guns. That's why they are so vehemently opposed to anybody putting any type of laws in place that would prevent them from having what they want in terms to fight for what it is they believe in. And I'm telling you, I said it earlier, I will say it again, these people are very violent. They believe that it's their right to behave the way that they behave, because they're saying that they're fighting for this country. Are you kidding me? Really? If anything, they're trying to undo everything that America is supposed to be. And we are not taking it seriously enough. We're continuing to show these images of violence taking place in our movies, on our television programs, even in the cartoons that and video games, as we discussed. Not only that, you've got the internet now playing a huge role in these people spreading their extremist views. And so they're getting young kids while they're young. But not only that, as we saw with that transgender shooter, you got people on the other side now saying, okay, all of them are getting guns, so I better arm myself and I better shoot first. So she, he, whatever you want to say, went to a church and shot up a bunch of folks who hadn't done anything to that person. Now, yeah, you may have a problem with evangelicals and their rhetoric, but we've gone from the point where we take, like Dr. Cecilia Sims said, we take our problems out with the person that we had a problem with. Instead, they're doing these mass casualty events. Now, don't get me wrong, we still have gangs, we still have gun violence, we still have suicides, all of that is still happening. But if you want the violence to stop, you've got to look at the root of the problem and pluck it up from there.
Wow, that's a mouthful, and I totally agree with, and I have to be the devil's advocate because I have to look at reality and mm-hmm. face it as it is. Everything that's happening is biblical. Men's hearts are failing for fear. That is in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so here's the deal. Then you have these crooks who are running the nation. Mm-hmm. We don't have good illustration examples. The houses, the homes are dysfunctional. The control of parenthood has been basically taken away from many who cannot rear their children. They're sending them to schools. I heard a mother, she got up between a House of Representatives. As she stressed, she said, I am fighting for my child. You want to come and teach my child no identity of who they are in gender. Mm-hmm. And she told my child that the best way to resolve issues is through this process. You don't want to be an example to my child because you're not even an example to yourselves. You're doing things to my children that should not be, that should be unlawful, and you're not being held accountable for it. You got police officers just being slapped on the hand on most of the things and making it look like it's live or Memorex. You make the choice on their ill will on people. You have some of them going out hunting. I'm just calling it what it is. They have a season of hunting. It's almost like they get a little, you know, little notion, it's hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying that, people keep saying, you fit the profile. Well, what doggone profile are you talking about, okay? I'll fit any profile that you want me to fit. That's for them, as far as I'm concerned. You will never get away from, and then they're out to do ill will. Our government system is fighting against each other. It says the house is divided shall fall. You got Republicans who are against some Republicans. You got Democrats who are against some Democrats. Everybody don't believe the same. I can't say that mm-hmm. because I've watched it. They don't. You have people who are shifting to what's doing what's right, but then you've got these charlatans who know you're going to mess with my money, okay, if you, we do this and we do that. I'm just calling it what it is.
You're exactly and right, so, Dr. Sims. It's the money in a lot of cases.
And it is, listen here, let me tell you something. I don't care what anybody says, and you might disagree with me. The Democrats and the Republicans are in cahoots together when it comes to control and money. I don't care what anybody says.
I
don't care. They make it look like they are mm-hmm. for you. Listen, we have been going downhill. We have been going, and then people going to get mad at me. It is what it is. We've been going downhill, okay? And the truth is finally coming out. Who's really for us? We want to put the black race up front and the racist. There's racism against Asians, against Hispanic. There's racism everywhere. It's just seemed we are publicized more. And we've suffered a lot, of course. I'm not taking that away from us. But my thing is, let's call a spade a spade. There's wickedness in high places, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness in high places. This is spiritual. This is spiritual, okay? And we have to deal with the spiritual. And how do we do that? Because Revelation is here, and Dr. Demery, he says it too. We in Revelation, folks, it's going to, and it's going to get worse. Mm. This AI intelligence foolishness, it is just a strategic plan to cancel us out because they want power. And
control.
They want the power. They want the control.
That's
and
right.
Guess what? I told you before, I felt like the White House is sitting back laughing at us and say, well, let's create something today and see how the people are going to react, okay? And then when we react that way, boom, that worked. COVID, mm-hmm. we're stuck in our houses like prisoners, okay? And it was nothing but the flu. Listen, folks, y'all better wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee because now they got everything falling out the sky, okay? Come on. They're doing this as a method to instill fear, uncertainty in life, and so they can. When you have a person who is vulnerable, they're easily controlled.
Absolutely.
Period. You pick up a gun, you'll shoot your dog to save your life. Mm. The way things are going, and I know that sounds hardcore, but it is what it is, folks. I mean, we're trying to. I'm not saying you all. Well, we're addressing some things, but the way people are walking, just like they're clueless. They're mm-hmm. clueless. And they'll say, oh, my God, poor soul. No, baby, you might be next. I can't go to the store hardly because for fear somebody going to come in there shooting it up, okay? It's just not isolated in one place. Yes, our schools are being greatly affected, but we got them coming in movie theaters. We got them coming in churches. We got them coming in businesses, in banks. We got them coming everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Ill intent, and that is to gain something, and if you get in the way, they will move you out of the way through death.
Absolutely. Let me jump in real quick. Hey, Mike, I'm gonna pass it over to you, Mike, but I want to jump into a couple of things. I can't believe that we spent this entire time talking about this, but it is a necessary. We haven't even gotten to the main topic, and we probably won't get there today because this is far too important. There's a couple of things that I thought about, too. And in a lot of cases, the problem starts. Now, there are problems in the home. Parents are not parenting, okay? And like you said, we used to knuckle it out. If there was a dispute, like among a student or a friend or whatever, we got into a fist fight or whatever it was. And, next day we were friends. Okay, no problem. Today is quite different. Okay. Cause see, I wasn't worried about, even though I didn't weigh as much as a lot of cats, but I wasn't afraid. I played football and I hit as hard as anybody. I don't care. And I sure did football and basketball too. And guess what? You didn't want to come around my end because I would hit you. I would definitely hit you. So there's no issue there. But the point was, I wasn't afraid of the children and the guys that I was with. The only people I was afraid of were my mom and my grandma. I'm telling you right now, because the person who hit me the hardest, I've been in fights before, but the person who hit me the hardest was my grandma and my mom. My mom, I got in trouble a couple of times, and she slapped me so hard I could see stars. I've never been hit by like that by anybody. But the point was, she kept us in check. But I'm going to get to something that we haven't talked about, and I think we need to cover it. And a lot of these problems come out of not only the home, but also in our very school system. And I want to address something right now that I think that the schools themselves can do something about, and why they won't, I don't know, but bullying. A lot of these mass shooters that go in schools and they shoot up the place, they were bullied. Now, that's no excuse for what they're doing, okay? There's no excuse for that. But bullying is a problem, and I think if on the school level, that can't be addressed. And a lot of children will go and complain to the vice principal or the teachers or the principal, and nothing goes on. And I think there should be zero tolerance across the nation as far as bullying is concerned, because I'm telling you, if you take these children right here now that's been desensitized, and you bully them to the point that they're going to look at the 6-year-old that shot his teacher. Okay? All right? So maybe there's a mental health problem there. I don't know. But like I said, growing up, we didn't have those same issues. Okay? Bullying is a major, major problem. Mike?
I couldn't agree more. I think the young child that shot his teacher, I think he had some autism background. So that's slightly different. But, you're talking about the spark that lights the fire. And the fire, after that spark is there from being bullied or being not listened to or not being identified as having some mental health issues, then goes the fire. And once the fire reaches full burn, then they come off and they do these stupid things. Again, I go back to the two things. It's lack of proper upbringing in the home. It's lack of the schools paying attention because they're just going through the motions. You know, give me my paycheck and I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something else that we talked about earlier about the schools and their safety. You know, there's banks here in Redlands. And Redlands is an old money town. It's one of the nicer communities here in Southern California, or at least certainly in San Bernardino County. William knows it well. There's banks where I have to go through the first door, stand there until the guard pushes the button, and I can go through the second door to get into the bank. So you're telling me that our banks are better protected than our most precious possession, which is our possession.
Yep.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
You're telling me you can have a bank that don't care enough about the schools to make sure the schools are protected and as secure as absolutely possible? You know, why can you do that with a bank but not where our children reside for at least half the day?
Wow.
That's an excellent point.
The bullying's an issue. The lack of parental control is an issue. The lack of the government doesn't care. The biggest thing with our politicians, they have their primary purpose is to get reelected or to move on to higher office. That's their primary function. You think our politicians are there to care for us and the masses?
No.
I don't believe it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. I couldn't. And speaking of the politicians, like you said again, look at a lot of these congressmen and senators. They go in and they're dirt poor and they come out rich. Okay, and they are kowtowing to the lobbyists. Who has the most money? Okay, and that and the NRA is a huge, huge contributor to politics. And you want to ask yourself the question, why? Well, because they have a lot of politicians in their pockets. They have a lot of politicians in their pockets, and guess what? They're going to do what they don't care about us. They don't care about our children. Like you said, Mike, all they care about is getting reelected. And the ones that give them the most money, they're going to take their lead on most things. But, and again, I'm going back to this bullying situation. And we don't realize, you know, because I had some really great mentors that used to say, yes, William, you can do this. You can definitely do this. Okay. I also had a teacher one time told me I would never be anything in life. Now, You know, I didn't want anything bad to happen to her, but if she had broken her toe, like falling down or something like that,
just a toe, not a major.
Just a toe. I mean, that would have been okay with me. But the point is, why would a teacher tell a student that? And I wasn't a bad student. I wasn't a bad student at all. Okay. But for some reason, this teacher said, hey, you'll never be anything in life. You know, just because I used to clown in school, I mean, in the back, I used to like laughing and joking and stuff. Like I did my work, but I used to, you know, I was kind of a jokester a little bit. And so she got angry and said, you'll never be anything. You know, you don't do that to a child. And I remember vividly, I was in the fifth grade. Okay. And I had another student, in my same class, and you could tell that he didn't have what other students had, because like his clothes, they weren't the cleanest a lot of times he came to school, he didn't have lunch. And I recall, one day he's sitting in the cafeteria and I said, Oscar, man, you don't, where's your lunch? He said, Brown, I had a big breakfast. I knew he was lying. So I said, well, guess what, Oscar? I said, I got two sandwiches here. I can't eat both of them. And yeah, take one of them, right? And he did. Now, speaking of Oscar, he wasn't the best student. However, he was a brilliant, brilliant artist at that age. Brilliant. He could draw either one of us and would look just like us. Yet, the next year, sixth grade come around, Oscar wasn't in class. Oscar dropped out. I used to see him on the street corner. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, our teachers should have been paying attention. But like you said, who said they're there to pick up a paycheck? Did you say that, Mike?
That's my feeling.
Okay, Dr. Sims?
I can't pardon for everyone with the same brush, but that's my feeling. The vast majority of them are looking for their paycheck, and I think part of it is the school boards and controls the teachers actually sometimes prohibit the teachers from being teachers. They put them in such a tight little box, it's like they can't move, their hands are tied. And same thing's going on with law enforcement. They're inside such a tight little box that they can't sneeze or they're in trouble. So what do the teachers do? The good teachers give up.
Absolutely. A lot of teachers have left the school system because, number one, they're not paid enough. And number two, then you're attracting a group of teachers that really don't care about really educating. Okay, they're there to get a paycheck. But Ann, I want to get back on the subject of bullying, and how much would you say that can or has affected all of the mass violence and shootings that we've had in school?
Well, coming from a kid who was bullied growing up, and I mean severely bullied growing up, I understand the need or the desire, rather, desire to want to hurt the people who hurt you. I do not understand hurting a lot of people who had nothing to do with what was happening to you. But at the same time, I also understand the mental health aspect of it. I started suffering from clinical depression in second grade as a result of being bullied. And so it was one of those things that followed me into adulthood. So I get it. I truly do. But never on any day did I want to get one of my daddy's guns and go to school and shoot up the whole school. That never happened. So it didn't even cross my mind to do something like that. And so while, yes, these may be people who are hurt, and I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that I know exactly what they have been through, because everybody's story is different. I do think that those contributing factors, especially if they are coupled with mental illness and the fact that they can easily and readily get a gun and do the type of damage that's being done on a regular basis, I think those things make for a perfect storm. Given the circumstances in somebody's life, if you've got someone who's just sick and tired of taking it, if they feel like, you know, the teachers aren't listening, the principal isn't listening, that the other kids are complicit, who knows? From my perspective, I understood the other kids who didn't say a word because they knew that they could be next. A lot of them were just as afraid of, you know, becoming the kid who was being bullied. And so they shut up and they stayed away from you. They acted like you had to play. I understand that. It's a matter of self-preservation for them too. But if you're perceiving everybody as the enemy, I think you're much more likely to be the person who does these types of things. I think they need a whole lot of assistance, but that's thankfully turning around. Schools are doing a lot more to address bullying, whether it's in person, whether it's cyberbullying, and they are taking it more seriously because of what's happening. Mm-hmm. But it's not just schools. People get bullied at work. You know, so you think when you're an adult, all that goes away, but they were saying go and postal for a reason. Mm-hmm. My dad worked for the postal system when he was alive. And, you know, when people started shooting up the place, he was like, you know, I'm not surprised given how some people are talking to those who are their subordinates. Mm-hmm. He's like, it just didn't surprise him to see that there were people who were reacting in that way to being mistreated. So I think we've got a multifaceted issue. I don't think it's just that it's just bullying. I don't think it's just mental health. I don't think it's just guns. I think that we've got a systemic problem, a love of guns and violence, that we need to look at too, that we need to reverse too, as well as a bunch of other things. We've got the wrong people as leaders who are perpetuating this. We've got, you know, even an entertainment industry that glorifies violence, that glorifies vigilante justice. So there are a lot of systemic things that need to be dealt with, and that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Demery, and then I want to go to Dr. Sims. What about our churches? Okay, why would someone think, or would lead them to go and shoot up a church? Okay. And how much do these so-called charlatans, they call themselves pastors, how much are they a contributing factor, if any?
You know, I think many preachers, and some that I do know, even some colleagues, are afraid to preach the truth because they're afraid of their position. They're afraid of, once again, of their paycheck as well. They're afraid of reputation. And, you know, my church will tell you, I tell them the truth no matter what it is. And the logos, which is the word in Greek, is the same yesterday, it's the same tomorrow, and it's the same forevermore. And so I don't compromise when it comes to the word. And I'll tell you the reason why. A lot of pastors don't have this attitude. But this is my attitude. I don't want your blood on my hands.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you the truth. And whether you like it or not, whether you hate me, that's okay. I don't care whether you like me or not. I'm going to tell you the truth first, and then we can discuss it more in depth if you want to. But initially, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you do not love,
yeah,
and there's five words in Greek that describe love. Mm-hmm. If you do not love with agape love, you are not being Christ-like. So you can call yourself a Christian all you want, but if you're not every day doing the best that you can to be Christ-like or to be as close to that as possible, then you're really, to me, I know this is hard, you're really not a Christian. You really you're like Shirley Caesar said, you're just playing church.
That part.
And a lot of these pastors, unfortunately, like you, William, the experience you had always springs back by my memory. If you are like that pastor that tried to bully you, and I think that was part of a bullying phase,
mm-hmm,
where you do what I tell you to do.
Yeah. How did that work out for him?
William told him I
yeah.
But a lot of people aren't strong like William. You know, they will cave in and to these bullying pastors rather than a pastor who was humble. I don't care how big your church is.
Wow.
If you're not humble. humble, if you are not loving the people as Christ loved the people, then you're in the wrong business.
Absolutely.
CEO of a corporate executive. So I think part of what happens, it goes back to what Dr. Sims was saying and what Mike was saying and also what Ann was saying, why people would go in and shoot up a church. There's a lack of respect. Mm-hmm. There's a brokenness in them. There is demonic forces that are driving them to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to deal with that. I mean, every day, I'm just going to be honest with you. Every day when I'm at church, I say, somebody could come in there right now and start shooting us up.
Right.
And what am I going to do about it? Absolutely nothing, but just try to dive, run low.
I know, that's right.
You know?
Right?
Yeah.
You know, run zigzag, hope I ain't, if they get a bead on me.
Oh, Lord. Okay. But
it goes to the fact that you walk by faith, not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be in fear. You know,
amen.
I live in fear. I'm not going to live fearful. You know, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing and continue doing what people call me to do, and that is to preach the word insistent, in season and out of season. The old preacher used to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Be insistent in season. So, William, to answer your question, I think that a lot of this happens for a multitude of reasons, like Ann was saying. It's not just any one single thing. It's a like an onion skin. Every time you pull a peel back, there's another layer up under there.
Mm-hmm.
And we deal with this from, you know, a multifaceted phase. And I think everyone has commented on the truth. Mike has, Dr. Tim has, and so has Ann and yourself as well. And we have to address the issue, you know, from the fact that, and this is more in Dr. Sims' wheelhouse, it actually comes back to a lot of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of broken people in the world. Mm-hmm. And you know, every Sunday, to an extent, what an awesome assembly when I look out at them and I tell them, what an awesome assembly of terribly vulnerable people we are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Each and every one of us are. And we have to learn to get to the point where we can control ourselves, and pastors have to be able to be honest and go to sleep at night and be able to tell the truth and let the people deal with it. And as the chips fall, let them fall where they may.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up. I had forgotten about that story. I've told it many times about that pastor. And we were talking about children. We were talking about rearing children. And my point was that, and I was telling a whole group of, I was in this upper class neighborhood with the gold dinnerware and just elegant house up there in Anaheim Hills. Mike and Dr. Dimmer and Dr. Sims, you probably know where that is in Orange County. Anaheim Hills, ritzy area, right? And I'm thinking,
yeah.
So anyway, so but the thing about it, the topic came around to me about, hey, Brother Brown, what do you think about our children and them today? And because we think that they're really out of hand, I said, well, my point is, I think that we really need to start nurturing children even before they can talk. Okay, just nurture them, encourage them, nurture them. Instill a sense of encouragement, and even when they started young, because guess what? Their minds are like sponges. They absorb all of this thing, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so we have to eliminate the ugliness that goes into our children. You wouldn't give them a glass laced with Drano, would you, or poison? So why would you feed their minds with this stuff? And so the pastor said, I don't agree, Brother Brown. You need to let children be children. And before I could think of it, I said, I don't give a damn. He said, you need to, you, he said, I did. He told me, well, you got to agree with me because I'm your pastor. I said, I don't give a damn who you are. Well, okay. Well, like I said, I was just a candidate to be a deacon, Mike. I was a candidate. Right, so, right. I didn't pass the deacon part, right?
You didn't get to the ordination.
Ordination? What's that?
But wait. Can I jump in here?
Please. Woo!
Dr. Dimmer, you know, you said some things, and William, you said some things about the children too. One of the groups that I was in a long time ago wanted some counseling done in Jamaica, and it was dealing with children. Let's counsel the children. And I thought to myself, that's like an oxymoron, because even if you counsel the children and help the children, they still have to go home to dysfunctions. What about that adult? The adult's mind has to be shifted for the child to change. I mean, we can teach them in schools. We can do that, which is a wonderful thing. But if you have ill will happening to your children in your home, at the hands of parents, at the hands of babysitters, at the hands of brothers and sisters, how do we combat that? So we had to put it in its right perspective. But I need to get to about the pastors in the church. You know, that's my wheelhouse. I was burning up over here. You're right. Because I've seen many, and I've been silent for a long time, not now, but years past, just watch, look, listening, and learning. That's where God had me, to observe the things that he did not like in the character of leaders. Because the leaders are so supposed to set the precedence, yes, of God. It's supposed to show the children of God what character is to be displayed, what to be learned. Everybody's a Christian now, okay? But to define it, they don't even parallel with what is required, because their attributes, their character is so on the left. It is not as it is. And the Bible plainly states, and I don't want to get all scriptural, which I could, but the Bible shows us what we should display. If I am my father's child, then you should see my father's attributes in me.
All right.
You should see my character oozing out of me, the love and things like that. But it had to be learned. I didn't learn this overnight, okay? Because Cecilia, that one right there, I had to keep her, get her under control. Miss Seeley, that's the one. Miss Seeley, I had to get her under control, because when you come from war zones, and you have to realize that people that come to church, some come from war zones, still in war zones. And then if you have jackleg preachers up there preaching out of the side of their mouth, and all they are doing is running the church as a business, which that is not supposed to be. I don't want to go to a business. I want to go to a safe haven, someplace where I need to get restitution from the battles that I had all week long. And basically some had to face on leaving there and getting some strength. But because of the control and the greed of many, Dr. Dimmer, you're not in that equation. There's many others who are not in that equation. But for the most part, you've got these leaders, just like the White House, okay? They have accepted, listen, the world is in the buildings. I'm not going to say the church, but the church is in me. The world is in these gathering places, and you cannot decipher who is who, because every damnable thing is being done among the church leaders. Everybody's trying to be with the upper echelon, with the clique. God ain't never told pastors and stuff to be in no clique and have secret meetings. Okay, when I say secret meeting, y'all know where I'm headed with that. And it had nothing to do with scriptures, with these secret meetings. Okay, I'm just saying. And so you cannot entertain the world on one side and entertain God on another. You got to either serve God or mammon. You either have to let one go, and it is, because God don't deal with lukewarm, with your legs straddling the fence. He's not. But many are doing that because money is power. And a lot of these charlatans are coming from prison to the pulpit. We've got, are you talking about background check? We need to do a whole lot of background check on some of them.
Okay? That's right.
And it's a shame that I have to say this, but because of the display, who they say that they are, and they are manipulating. They are manipulating in church houses. They are manipulating till they're running and I heard a lot of a hustle in God's house. And you know, God whooped them out from doing that kind of hustling stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so guess what? He's coming back to do the same thing. But my thing is this, is that when you have fraud people who say that they love the Lord and who really don't, who has another agenda, another motive as to the reason why they're there to manipulate the vulnerable, to get the goods, the money. They're out for filthy lucre. They're carried away through the lust of their flesh, the pride of life. Come on here. They don't care about the soul of a man. Just like in the White House, he don't care nothing about my soul and how I feel. He wants to do what he's going to do. So I'm making the parallel because it's in Christendom. It's the same thing. You have some who are Satan worshippers standing up in the pulpit. Come on here. and doing all sorts of things that are abomination to God. And so the Lord said in his word, he says, the leaders, he's going to judge more harsher because they were set in position to lead my sheep to you. And if you are leading my sheep astray, and then too, you've got those sitting in there, the elite wants this sugar-coated, I know I'm going deep real quick, but want this sugar-coated word and don't want to live right. They just want to sit up there, suck on a toothpick and look important. But my thing is this, that's not the case for that. That's not it. Mm-hmm. Because God is looking at the souls of men. The Lord says, men's hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? He knows the very intent of a heart. So people show up to places to be associated with it, especially with these mega churches, to say, I'm going to T.D. Jakes. I go to Cleflo Dollar. I go to that other booger that, you know, anyway.
That booger.
It is what it is, because my thing is this, and people are fearing these people. Why? Listen, he and she, they got the bays like I do, okay? I will respect the position that God put on you. But if you're not doing what is according to the word of God, first of all, me as a lay member has to know what God's word says.
Amen. Okay? Preach.
And if I don't know what God's word says and the plan and the outline that he has, then guess what? I'm going to be like the little puppy dog. I'm going to follow you wherever you go, whether it's wrong or right.
Exactly.
But we become knowledge gives me wisdom. And the Lord says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Yes.
And his wisdom, he will give it to you in abundance.
Yes.
But because people have become lazy, they're led. And you're talking about enslavement. White, black, Hispanic, they enslaved sitting in the houses of prayer.
Mm. Isn't
and
that
God
something?
Said, not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When he says, when I came from the world, listen, I left a Rolls Royce spiritually, listen to me, spiritually, and come into church and they giving me a Pinto. Okay, let that marinate for a minute, okay? And so why would I leave the world and go into church and get a Pinto when I was living large in the world? You're not giving me any different, okay? You're not giving me better. You're not giving me hope. You're not restoring love. You're not changing my direction mentally on how I feel about myself. And it is a personal thing when people come in there. Dr. Demery knows this. People come in there with all walks of life, with all sorts of problems. Also, can we resolve them? No. We can give them what God tells us to give them and let God work on their very life.
All right.
But the thing is this, and I'll say this, don't look at flesh to trust. Put your confidence in no man. That's what the Lord says. I will honor you as long as you're in the do. If you're not doing the will of God as I know it and studied it, okay, then guess what? Why do I have to bow down to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we've only got a few minutes left.
Make this one little point. Paul says, cast not your pearl before swine.
Amen.
And if you're acting like swines, dust your shoes off and go where God sent you.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Mike right quick. We talk about these charlatans in the pulpit, and we also have some in the political arena as well. And what offends me, Mike, especially you take some of these churches where some of these preachers, so-called preachers, they are doing everything under the sun, right? I'm not talking good either. I'm talking about, they're up there preaching and then they're molesting little girls or little boys and things of that nature. Mike, I'm going to let you, real quick, I want you to jump in there and say whatever you need to say or what you want to take from this conversation. The floor is yours.
Wow, I'm not a real expert on churches or pastors, but I know that evil exists in our society in all forms, in every category you can think of. There's good and there's evil. And I prefer to define things in those two terms. Now, is there different levels of good? Is there different levels of evil? Absolutely. Part of my expertise was predator and child abduction. So I've seen some of that, what I've had to deal with people in churches that are youth counselors in churches.
Ooh.
That's a category right there that's a little scary, because a lot of these people don't get vetted, and yet they're a quote unquote counselor of some sort. Well, all of you know, if you're going to wear that honor of being a counselor, you have to go through fingerprinting, you have to be vetted, you have to make sure, you know, make sure these people don't have any kind of negative background that would affect the children. So yes, it does exist, and it's up to the good in society to not be complacent. And that's a term that I like to go to in many different ways, because complacency kills. Okay. Sometimes it kills you physically. Sometimes it kills you mentally. Sometimes it kills you spiritually. And if we allow that to be part of our society, which we have, it's not that we want it that way, but we become complacent and we become jaded. And what am I going to do about it? There's nothing I can do, so I'm just going to put my blinders on and hope it doesn't knock on my door. Well, we all know from looking at world history, eventually it's going to knock on your door too.
That's right. Right. Absolutely.
So don't be complacent. Keep fighting. Keep these things out there in our talking points with other people, because together we're stronger. Like I think Aaron was saying, divide and conquer, or a house divided, right? Mm-hmm. We can't let that occur to us. So you have to fight it, place it.
Absolutely. And let's see, tell them, when is your show on Thursdays, and what is it?
Our show, you mean, William?
Yes, okay, yeah, ours. I do participate a little bit.
He chastised me. William chastised me because I called it his show, and he goes, no, Rob, no, it's our show. So yeah, we do coast to coast on Thursday nights. Starts at 5 o'clock here on the West Coast, 8 o'clock there where you guys are on the East Coast, and somewhere in between where Ann's at. So come join us. This is very serious what we do here on Boomerang, obviously, and I really like listening to all of you and comparing different points of view. So this enlightens me every Sunday that you guys allow me to be part of Boomerang. So yeah, but if you want to hear some really good music where it's extremely wide range, like I say, we do everything from big band to rap to Motown to as long as it's clean.
Right.
We do it all, and we mix it all. William does a great job. I send him a list, and he does a great job of producing it and mixing everything up so that you're not going to hear the same kind of thing song after song after song. And then we try to highlight artists that are new and upcoming that maybe you've never heard before, or an artist that's done a cover that's as good as the original, if not better. So we try to do things that are a little different than most of the radio programs that play music. And we have 3 hours, and it's like Boomerang. It goes so fast, we could do another hour or two.
Yeah.
So that's our Thursday nights, and I look forward to it every Thursday night. I keep, every time I'm out in public, I keep sending people the information on Studio W, number one, and asking them to tune in and listen to William and my silliness on Thursday nights.
Excellent. And
before I go, you guys, please do me a favor, because there's a lot of statistics out there and brought up. She did a research, which, you know, she's a lawyer. She does that stuff. Brought up a lot of information. I have a problem with statistics, and I really would like you guys to watch that number one with a bullet. Go to YouTube and type in number one with a bullet done by Bill Whittle. And those stats, which are supposed to be valid, are in direct conflict to what Ann brought up. And that's why I have a problem with statistics, because who's manipulating the numbers?
Absolutely.
Very
well. And last word. I want to go to Dr. Demery, then Dr. Sims, because I want Dr. Sims to tell us about her program. And Dr. Demery, I want you to tell people where they can find your church. I've been there many times, and Dr. Demery says exactly what he means. He means what he says, and he tells his audience, he said, "Don't take my word for it. Study for yourself." So, Ann, tell us a little bit. You got about 1 minute. And if you can cram all of that in, and then tell us about the Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show.
Tune in on Saturdays at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time right here on Studio W Buzz for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show, where we teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Following that is a Teens Talk Truth radio show hosted by my favorite young men on the planet, my sons AJ and Alex Taylor. They discuss hot topics affecting teens and society today. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, you missed one of my favorite Teens Talk Truth shows of all time.
Mine
Am I
too.
Right, William?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we will have that gentleman on. And his name, Mr. Earl, what's his name?
Mitchell. Earl Mitchell.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. And so we will have him on the Boomerang One as soon as I'll talk to Ann and see how we can schedule him. Dr. Demery, where is the Mentone Congregational Church?
Mentone Congregational Church is in the corner of Highway 38, or you may call it Ligonia Avenue that runs all the way up. And you can, we're on the corner of Barrel and Highway 38. Services start at 10 a.m. And if you come, particularly this Sunday, we'll feed you.
Yep. They have good food there, too. I advise, though, when you drive through Mentone, don't go too fast, okay? Because you'll miss it. You have a stop sign. Is there a stop sign there? One stop sign. Okay. All right. Wow. Keep that in mind. Dr. Sims, your program.
Yes. What is my program? Oh, Miss CC's Kitchen. I'm sorry. Miss CC's Kitchen is aired every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're real talk broadcast. We talk about real issues. We also stir up controversial issues. Right now, we're talking about relationship, your relationship journey, whether single or married, how we can turn some things around and make it better.
Okay, great, great, great. Folks, we got to go. But anyway, to our listening audience, if you're on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, and you want to hear broadcast, these broadcasts in stereo quality, then go to the website, studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com, or if you have someone that's out of the country, just give them, just tell them,